You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Today's episode is sponsored by DraftKings. Stay tuned because you'll hear more about DraftKings and all it has to offer throughout the show. DraftKings, the crown is yours.
I'm curious what you guys think is the big sports story of the weekend, because I think I would put the Phoenix Suns pretty high on the list, given the amount of mortgaged future that they did there, pun intended, given their ownership situation and how they've made money off of mortgages. But I wanted to start with something that I don't know if the rest of you know. I thought it was quietly reported about an NBA superstar last week that Joel Embiid is suffering from Bell's palsy. That was reported by Woj. Did you guys know that was reported by Woj? Did you know that Joel Embiid is...
Well, once he reported it, yeah, of course.
But I'm not sure how you all reacted and whether you got the news, because I think a lot of people missed that the left side of his face is drooping, that he can't blink one of his eyes, that he's doing the interview that Joakim Noah said on South Beach Sessions. You've got to keep your head up there to give off good body language for your teammates. You can't put your head down. But he's kind of ashamed of what's going on with his face. And I just started reading about Bell's palsy, Stugatz, because I'm wondering what's going on, not with Joel Embiid's performance, but how he's feeling about life these days, being in the center of what seems like a storm, because these are symptoms that mimic a stroke. And one of the things that I read is that when you, I'm going to read straight here, do you feel ill with Bell's palsy from the internet? When first diagnosed with Bell's palsy, you should understand that you are unwell. It is important to get plenty of rest. And then there's this. People who live a continuous, stress-filled life are more likely to experience this health condition than those who do not.
He'll get plenty of rest soon.
We talked about it some on Friday, and it was through that prism of the reaction to his bad body language after game two. It was explained later to us that that's why he didn't want to show his face, you know, because it hadn't been reported yet. So that explained a lot. And we actually, on Friday, we referenced the Joakim Noah reaction to it, too. I think a lot of people got an explanation for some body language questions that they had for him, and, you know, hands up in the air. We didn't know that. So you apologize and you move on.
It's like a what more can this guy have kind of thing. Like, when I saw that report, I was like, my Grammy had Bell's palsy. Yeah. I've never seen an NBA player with Bell's palsy before.
There's no one else on that team and in that city that's going to get the blame for everything that's happening there, even as he puts up a 50-point performance in Game 3. That arena last night had an awful lot of Knicks fans in it. Can video get some of the Knicks' reaction now that they're actually winning playoff games and look like they're going to win a playoff series and have a legitimate chance
here? Not there yet, Dana.
If they can get past the Pacers, they've got a legitimate chance to play in the Eastern Conference Finals. Let's just put some B-roll up on the screen of Knicks fans behaving in a way that is very Knicks fan, because they really did fill up Philadelphia's arena in a way that made Embiid complain after the game, like that pissed him off.
Yeah, you asked aloud, what is the big story from the sports weekend? And to me, it's the New York Knicks and the fans legitimately having something to pound their chests over, because I know the Hawks, the previous time that they made it into the second round of the NBA playoffs, it wasn't a team with a caliber superstar like Joel Embiid, a team that was entering the playoffs with a fair amount of momentum, because when Embiid played, it usually meant good things for Philadelphia. So for me, it's for the first time in a long time, a legitimate team to get legitimately excited about if you're a Knicks fan. That's the main story of the weekend.
I don't know how many Knicks fans had Jalen Brunson breaking the postseason points record when he was traded last year.
Nobody.
He is so talented.
For the Knicks,
yes. And 47 points at Philadelphia in front of a mixed crowd was one of the best performances I think a Knicks fan has seen in years.
And it should be noted that they're doing all of this. Now, I have my opinions about Julius Randle, the basketball player. I happen to think that, and I've always thought, that they're better without Julius Randle. But that being said, Julius Randle represents a large amount of their salary cap that is not making a contribution down this run. You start thinking about this team, the way that it's constructed presently, if they can ever get anything for that contract, you have a team that is in discussion as a real title contender and actually an attractive destination rather than this idea of attraction.
The amazing thing, Tom Thibodeau, we give him a hard time. We make fun of him, how hard he works his team, the defense stuff. But Tom Thibodeau, that perimeter defense of the New York Knicks was overwhelming in yesterday's game. They did not allow Philadelphia to get a clean look at a three from like the third quarter on.
What happened in that fourth quarter to Philadelphia when Joel Embiid says we've got the better team, when Joel Embiid during the last part of the season, his return was something that made Philadelphia feel top of the conference good. The fact that they missed their last nine shots, they did nothing the end of that game. Mitchell Robinson is out. Hartenstein gets five fouls in one quarter. He's in foul trouble. Joel Embiid has to carry your team there. And here's Kelly Oubre after the game saying the only thing you can say to try to diminish Jalen Brunson.
Brunson's getting going after slow first two games of this series. What do you think has allowed him to get in the rhythm?
34 shots. I mean, yeah, he's a great player. Great player. I love playing against him. I love his game. You know, he has a lot of fundamentals and skill set to his game. But, you know, anybody shoots 34 shots that has skill and that's a great player, you know, they're going to be able to do well. And especially you get screened, you know, you're getting mismatches and you're trying to find the right matchups and things like that. Like, he's a great player. He's going to capitalize on those things. But, yeah, I mean, it's just, it was due to happen, obviously. You know, JB is a great player. He's been playing well, doing this all year long. So just because I say he shot 34 shots doesn't mean he's going to stop shooting them, because that's what they need him to do. So, but at the end of the day, he's just finding his groove. Tibbs is doing a good job of putting him in positions to, you know, get to his left hand and, you know, get into the paint.
I have no idea if he's complimenting Brunson or not. I mean,
the rare both.
Yeah. I mean, the team overall is not going to be super efficient. You might as well have your chief superstar be the one taking the shots in hopes that he finds a rhythm. But I watch the Knicks, and I know that the Pacers are playing an opponent that's riddled with injuries. But you also look at the Mavs with Kyrie. You see like these tier two and tier three acquisitions that Dan typically makes fun of around the deadline. Some of these aren't traditional deadline deals, but OG has made a difference. Them deciding to just capitulate on RJ Barrett and stop trying to convince themselves that he's going to be a certain caliber of player, making the move to be better right now, has paid off dividends for them. It's paid off with Indiana, with Pascal Siakam.
With Siakam, yeah.
Yeah, so the really good minor moves to take your team to the next level.
I'm excited for Taylor to have the opportunity to take the train to a closeout game. He is currently on an Amtrak from Miami to New York as we speak, and we will be checking in with him later.
We will be. I was told he was on a bus. He's on a train.
Yeah, train.
Yeah, it's
train,
all yeah. ground transportation, and it's all brought to you by our friends over at Game Time, who Taylor tried to leverage his position here at MetaLark to get free tickets from Game Time, and the counter was, okay. But here's the conditions, and the conditions are he has to find his way over there using only ground transportation. So thank you to Game Time. By the way, download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code TRIPFROMHELL for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. That is promo code Trip from Hell.
Are we at Nick's show now?
I think so.
Are we headed that way?
Got to game the algos.
Well, we're like definitely not a Marlins show.
Second round, are we going to be a Knicks show? It seems like a fun team. And we have multiple Knicks correspondents. Yeah. We have Taylor on a train going to cover the game.
I will be a Pacers show in the next round.
What? This is the most likable.
The Knicks face, Billy.
Is this the most likable Knicks team of my lifetime? Probably.
It's pretty good. You mentioned Onanobi. He is, I think they were like 17-2 or something when he was healthy after the trade. They had a very nice run when he was healthy. Health, Stugatz, is such an interesting thing happening in the playoffs because the Bucks are without their two leading scorers. When a team in the NBA is without their two leading scorers, they're 0-13 in the postseason. Ooh. Giannis hasn't won a playoff game since 2022. He's had 8 games. He's not played in 5 of them and lost the other 3 to the Heat.
Wow.
Giannis has not won a playoff game since winning the championship, correct? That was in 2022, was it not?
Yeah, and if you look at that championship, I got a lot of flack, like, as it happens. Like, I'm not sure about the season. It's so impacted by COVID. And you look at what's happened to the Milwaukee Bucks and Phoenix Suns specifically. I mean, that was an NBA Finals that was coached by Monty Williams, who is right presently a punchline, and Mike Budenholzer, who lost his job promptly, quickly thereafter. It's a weird time in the NBA where you don't necessarily have these kind of flash-in-the-pan generational-type teams that usually have a longer sustained run. That Phoenix roster had Chris Paul and DeAndre Ayton, guys that aren't looked at the same way.
Feels like Denver could be one of those teams, though, right?
What does that mean?
Yeah.
It feels like Denver could go on a run here, yeah. Generational. Yes.
Yeah, atop that conference for as long
Denver,
as
Denver, Minnesota is going to be a Jokic. Great series.
Yes.
I cannot wait to watch that. Anthony Edwards is 22. Kevin Durant is already saying that's my favorite player to watch in the league. He's 22. And I want to talk about some Suns stuff because they have 0 first-round picks from 2025 to 2030. They've got 0 second-round picks from 2024 to 2030. So they traded everything to have Booker, Beal, and Durant. Minnesota took their best punch yesterday. That's Booker going for 49. That's Durant scoring whatever he scored, 33. And Beal getting 9. They owe Beal $160 million over 3 seasons. They're paying those 3 guys more than 14 teams are paying their entire roster.
And you're stuck. You would say, okay, maybe we could trade Bradley Beal, but who wants that contract?
Well,
for that production?
He's got a no-trade clause as well, making matters worse. Pat Riley wouldn't take that no-trade clause. Phoenix is, and this part's interesting too. So Durant steps on the 3-point line and doesn't advance in a game 7, and Giannis wins the title.
Right.
Durant is 6-9 in the playoffs with the Suns. It's all built around those 3 guys. They were minus 51 in that series. It's the worst of any trio in the league. They're 3 guys. And Beal, in the middle of all that, is a problem, Stugatz, because he was 4-for-13 yesterday. And you need something. As Minnesota is taking your haymakers from Booker and Durant, you need to get something at home from somewhere else. And he's 4-for-13 after saying, I've never been swept a day in my life. I'll be damned if that happens. I don't remember any Bradley Beal playoff games. 0. Like, I don't remember any of them.
Well, he's never been swept. That doesn't.
Yeah, he hasn't been swept. He has not ever been swept a day in his life.
He's never been there. Right.
But he's been there, but I don't remember a Bradley Beal playoff game. Do you? Like, does anyone here remember a Bradley Beal playoff game?
I think when Paul Pierce called bank, he called game. Instead, maybe that one. Yeah, they went all in on Bradley Beal. The entire season kind of depended on him finally getting healthy at the right time and helping their team, and that would be the prism that you'd view that trade through. And now that this season has happened, you can promptly call that a failure in a bad acquisition and one that has really hindered their franchise. They're probably going to have to trade guys like Durant even potentially this offseason to see if they can start building up some assets. James Jones probably losing his job there. If you listen to Pablo Torre finds out, does this mean Isaiah Thomas just gets more and more control over that franchise?
Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Simply Safe. When you travel, do concerns back home nag you? Did you lock up? Did you leave a window open? That's why I recommend investing in Simply Safe Home Security today for award-winning security and peace of mind wherever your summer plans take you. I've had Simply Safe in my home for many years now. The peace of mind it gives me, especially during the summertime when I'm all over the place, is incredible. Because I know the things I care about, the things I value back home, I can always keep an eye on it using Simply Safe's indoor and outdoor cameras. So do me a favor. Before you head out on your next vacation, make sure to protect your whole home with Simply Safe's variety of indoor and outdoor cameras. Plus, add sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more. It's backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than a dollar a day. No contracts to worry about and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Simply Safe has given me and many of my listeners real peace of mind. I want you to have it too. So right now, get 20% off any new Simply Safe system with Fast Protect monitoring at simplysafe.com/DLB. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
The Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gatz is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Keeping things bottled up can feel like carrying a weight that gets heavier with time. Whether it's talking to a trusted friend, journaling, or seeking professional help, finding ways to let out your thoughts and feelings can bring relief and help you navigate challenges more effectively. Remember, it's okay to reach out for help when you need it. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/DLB today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DLB.
Don Le Batard.
It's a three. The crowd goes into a delusion. Winning in the playoffs, not an illusion. It's a heat check. He's on fire.
Stugats.
Carry us, Jalen Brunson. Comes up clutch, that's why we won. New York knows you are the best. Not the joke no more.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stu Gatz.
I feel like we're burying the lead on the story of the weekend. Draft grades. Miami Dolphins, B-.
Oh, wow.
Vikings, B+. Patriots, B. I'm going to keep going?
Please.
Yeah.
I do not Never want stop. You to
Saints,
keep going.
A-.
What is the Falcons draft grade? Because that was one of my two biggest stories from the weekend. If you can count Thursday as the weekend.
Chris is bearing the lead on this website. He has the grade for each day of the draft for each team.
Packers, overall B, but day one they had a B. Day two, they also had a B. Day three, B-.
Wow. Classic day three fall off. Mm. Bradley Beal had a 38-point game seven in 2017, but they lost by 10.
Well, thank you.
That's he got his, though.
That is a playoff game. And speaking of the draft, because you said B-, and I thought all of you were dancing around because the Dolphins were said to have the second highest draft value. It was being reported, and I don't know what that means, but Warren Sharp, who famously came on our show as a prognosticator and tout, his information is really good. But he had one of the great disasters in the history of our show where he came on and we said again and again how good his information is. And we say all the time, having good information doesn't necessarily mean you can predict the results of things. And I thought he went promptly 0-11 with what he picked. Stu Gatz corrected me and said, no, Dan, he went 1-10, but the promo code that he offered us after charging $99 for a subscription to Warren Sharp, Sharp Information was then offering our listeners, hey, I'm so sorry about going 1-10, or I thought 0-11, that you can now have a subscription to everything I'm doing for a single dollar.
Should have been for free.
We should have paid for that in just the rest of his dignity.
Warren Sharp is like reputed to be a line mover too. Yeah. Really one of the better prognosticators out there. But
the show brings everyone's analysis down except for ours, because on Thursday we had, I think, the best Dolphins analysis of anyone watching the draft, which was that Chris really didn't want Graham Barton, because Chris's analysis was that if the Dolphins took Graham Barton, the center from Duke, bust. But if anyone else takes him, he's going to be
Hall
great.
Of Famer.
12-time Pro Bowler, for sure.
And the Dolphins took Chop Robinson instead.
Yeah, a little glimpse into how nobody knows anything with these drafts. I'm pretty sure Mel Kiper only gave out two A's, and one of them was the Cardinals. And if you look at this graph here, Cardinals are dead last in Warren Sharp's graphic. So I don't know what to make of anything.
Did your dad beat Mel Kiper with more exactos and Zagakis than Mel Kiper?
9-8.
Wow.
Well, everyone kind of had a good year with those first four picks.
Yeah.
But, yes, he did beat him.
How is your dad? I saw something that concerned me over the weekend.
Well, hold on. This part's interesting because, Billy, have you gotten some information on Chris, your father will use anything for clicks. And have you gotten information, Billy, on that post of his where his face is really banged up?
Well, I was concerned when I saw it. I reached out to Chris last night. I followed up this morning, and the information that I got was, hey, how's your dad doing? And the answer was, fine. I go, what happened? And the response that I got was, you have to tune into the Greg Cody show with Greg Cody if you want to know how he's doing. And I'm like, but how he's doing? How's he doing? And he said, well, you got to tune into the Greg Cody show with Greg Cody to find out how he's doing.
My dad's never said anything to me more serious than, if you say what happened to me on the show today, I'm off the wheel. I know he says that part a lot.
Wow.
But he said it again.
His health is embargoed?
Oh, man.
I was just curious. Our cast member and friend, Greg Cody, that's a shocking image that we've thrown up.
I mean, AI is a crazy thing. It could be AI.
Where can I find this episode of The Greg Cody Show featuring Greg Cody?
Wherever you find your podcast, Jess.
Wow. Is it out now?
It's out right now.
With.
His
our YouTube numbers just plummeted as everyone downloads the Greg Cody show.
It's a real black eye. It looks like he has a pair of giant Rolling Stone lips around his right eye, because that is some kind of swollen, and that mark on his head makes me think he fell on his face.
All right, I'll give you three options. Okay,
no, don't do this. You're going to be out of the
way. No,
why are you doing this?
Don't piss off Greg.
Why?
It's one of these three things.
He seems to have been through enough.
He either passed out again like he did with the Bush, drunk.
Choosing that.
He either fainted again, you know, like he did at High Lie.
What, coughing fit?
Also coughing drunk. Fit. Or he got into a fight with Dave Hyde.
Mm.
Ooh.
One of those three things.
I was thinking like bee sting, or maybe he had peanut butter. He didn't know he had an allergy. One of those.
You would
say, telling me those are off the table.
None of us have ever had our face look like that, right? That is a substantive. Have any of you ever had? Izzy did. Izzy fell on his face one time in a way that really caused him a problem.
I've never crossed Dave Hyde.
That's true.
Who won?
I've had a black eye like that, but the swollen part is yeah.
It's,
why what?
It's really bad.
How'd you get a black eye like that?
Something hit me in the face.
Oh.
Billy, do you have a favorite story from the weekend? Just cheated a little bit, because going Penix and the Falcons on Thursday isn't the weekend. So, Billy, do you have a story that you thought was the biggest from the weekend?
Well, Dan, we're down here in Florida, and there's lots of sports happening. Yesterday was a very bad day for South Florida sports. No one was close. Or Saturday, I'm sorry, was a bad day. The hockey team was not close. The Panthers lost by 20.
Hey, Inter-Miami had a great game.
Marlins.
The Heat lost by 20.
Not enough people.
You're right.
Are talking about Inter-Miami. Yeah. And I'm wondering when we're going to give them their flowers, because you have the best player in the history of the sport down here playing every 3 days or whenever he feels like it. And no one's watching him. No one's talking about it. We had a whole year about people falling in love with this sport, this team, whatever. I guess they raised prices and then everyone's like, okay, I'm out. And no one's talking about this team anymore. But that's not the story, Dan. The story is the Heat. The center of the basketball universe is down here today. I don't think anyone will dispute that. And the Heat have the opportunity to tie up this series when no one thought that they were going to be in it. And I'm going to tell you right now, I was walking around this morning, minding my P's and Q's, but kind of poking around, seeing what I could find out, because we're right across the street from this arena. I'm feeling good about the Heat today.
Why is that?
I saw Cole Swider. He looks loose. Now, he hasn't played in a little bit, but should he play? I'm telling you.
He looked loose. That's your reporting. Chris Haynes is coming in here into the studio in a second as an information insider. You're challenging his role with that exclusive reporting that Cole Swider walked across the street and looked loose?
I didn't say he walked across the street. I'm just saying I saw Cole Swider this morning. He looked loose, and there's a reason that I'm getting this out now, because I don't want Chris to steal this story, because this could be a monster story. This could be the Swider game, the based on how he was looking.
Jessica, the 15th guy is ready.
Jessica is yawning uncontrollably. She's had a fit of yawns at your exclusive information.
I stayed up so late yesterday, Dan, watching Baby Reindeer, because I knew you were going to spoil it for me if I didn't watch it this weekend.
It's good.
And also, I think my Knicks fandom should be revoked, because I fell asleep through the entire second half of the game, and it was like a 1 o'clock tip-off. It was embarrassing.
What are your what's your review of Baby Reindeer?
It was good, but I'm more fascinated by what's happened since it came out, because people are trying to do like some detective work, and the whole thing's gotten very ethically messy.
Oh, is it because the star of the show claims that this is his story, a true story, and there's stuff in it that's not true? Or
no, it's because he claims it's based on a true story, and everyone's like, well, we have to find the real people that it's based off of now. And that part of it has gotten a little weird.
How so? Just in that people are questioned. I mean, it is a it's a dramatic reenactment, right? Are they not allowed to take some liberties with whatever the story is?
I think that that is not so much what the debate is around. I think like it's obviously not a documentary, right? So like things are dramatized. It's more so that like this guy made a story about someone who's a private person and was like, I don't want anyone to find out who this is about, who the actual identity of this person is. But fans of the show are like, we want to find out their identity. And that part of it is weird and interesting, because why?
Invasive, yes. Nosiness, general nosiness. If you're Stugatz, if you're champion veteran Bobby Portis, mm-hmm. and your two leading scorers are out,
yep.
you simply cannot get ejected, can you?
Well, I mean, you can.
But you can't. Your veteran champion.
Left him out there alone. I mean,
Bobby Portis and your two leading scorers are out. Giannis and Lillard are out. The remains of your team was a champion a couple of years ago. You re-signed there because you're a champion there. You cannot get ejected in that spot.
Not 7 minutes in.
Not any minutes.
I'll give you that.
Not any minutes.
Fourth quarter, maybe. 7 minutes in, you can't do that.
Actually, you know what? I think the Minnesota's coach, is it Finch? Minnesota's coach getting injured the last 2 minutes of that game. One of the great moments in Minnesota Timberwolves history, that he's about to celebrate with his players and then torn meniscus on the sidelines with 2 minutes left. And he can't even do the press conference. He can't close the game out. He can't do anything other than limp to the hospital.
Howdy, folks. It's Mike Ryan. And as you know, you're probably a sports fan, you know it's playoff time, and you probably have a team that you want to root on, and maybe you're like me and you're not a season ticket holder, so you miss the first crack at getting tickets, so what do? You check the secondary market. Well, let me tell you about my best friend in that secondary market, because I've tried them all, and no one's as good as Game Time, the only ticketing app that gives you complete peace of mind with your purchase. You get to see the view from your seat on your phone before you buy the tickets. All-in pricing shows your total cost up front, so there are no surprises. Buy tickets in seconds with just two taps. I'm telling you, folks, this is a personal endorsement from me. I was using Game Time long before they joined us, and I'm so happy they're with us so I can preach the good word. Trust me, folks, Game Time, that is what you need. Take the guesswork out of buying NBA tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code DAN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code DAN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
Dan Le Batard.
You're a big disappointment, Paul Pierce. I'm only upset right now that I don't get to do this in person, Paul Pierce.
Hey, how disappointed is it to be a Miami fan right now?
Stugatz.
Brother, actually, you make a really great point.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
Tell me what confidence you can instill in your fan base that may not believe that you guys had a legitimate shot.
I think we believe. It's everybody else that don't. If I got to hear one more praise about Boston on national TV when we win a game, I'm tired of hearing that, man. It's 1-1, and we're going to go up 2-1. See y'all later. Peace.
Appreciate you, brother.
He's Chris Haynes, senior NBA insider for TNT and Bleacher Report. He's in town covering Celtics Heat. He's about to head to shoot around across the street. Were you disoriented? Did you have trouble doing your job with Jimmy Butler because of the pigtails? Were you distracted or disoriented by that?
No, I got a glimpse of it before we actually went on air, so I was prepared. But I got a little insight for you.
a little behind, peel back the curtains for you guys. That led to that interview, which led to him saying what he said about the Celtics paying too much attention to them. So before we went on, before we went live, he got on us, me, at TNT, for in game two, we promoted Jason Tatum's shoe during game two. He's like, man, y'all better stop doing that. Stop promoting a player's shoe during the game, especially while the Heat are winning. And so then 30 seconds later, we go live, which led to that. So that's just give you some insight on where Jimmy was coming from.
Not pigtails, Jessica.
Space buns, Dan.
Yeah, big difference.
Okay, I'm sorry. Put it on the poll, please, at Levitard Show. Did you know? Do you know the difference between space buns and pigtails?
Pigtails, he's saving for next media day.
Yeah, he's not coming back in this series. I think the most surprising result that we've gotten this entire postseason was Miami beating them that way in game two.
Yeah.
You do what with the idea that the Boston Celtics, if they're going to beat you, that's how they're going to beat you. But plenty of people are questioning whether they can do that or will do that in a two-point playoff game. Yeah. Everyone thinks and knows they can do that. They've been doing that all season, winning by 20, by 30, by 50.
Are people saying do it in a close game?
People are saying their mental toughness is fragile. Yes, that is something Charles Barkley and others have said.
Said that about the Miami Heat?
No, about the Boston Celtics.
Oh, the Boston Celtics, yes. Yeah. I do think this is a different team, though. This is not the same Boston Celtics team we saw the last couple of years where turnovers, bad shot selection has gotten the best of them. They're a deep squad. And, you know, the way that they've dominated teams throughout the course of this season, especially with wins, they have a double-digit win margin in beating teams. Like, that's how they play. They want to get up, get fast, and, you know, to the Miami Heat, do they have a legitimate shot? Like, so game two, 23 threes, that's actually going to, you know, that's going to help you. But you know they're not going to shoot like that on a night-to-night basis, not against this team, for sure. And you saw in game three, they struggled to generate offense.
And 84 points is the lowest point total of the season for the team.
I was talking with Spo, and I asked Spo before game three about, you know, how do you generate offense, especially when you got Drew Holiday, who's a lockdown defender, and Tyler Hero is probably their best. Yeah, he is their best perimeter offensive player. And he said you don't want to have Drew just lined up on Tyler. We want to move Drew around. Because if you just have Drew just locked in on Tyler, then Drew has the body and the physicality to knock Tyler off his spots. And, you know, we don't like that matchup. But now if you got him moving, that's why the Heat do a lot of dribble handoffs. You get him moving in space and create mismatches. That's how Tyler and other guys can get off. But a heavy dose of that, I just don't know if that's going to work in this series.
You're very close to Damian Lillard. You were in his wedding?
Yeah, I was, yes, in his wedding, yeah.
And a lot of people are reporting that he's unhappy, which would make sense. What is your reporting?
I think he was unhappy with how things were going. I mean, he's not unhappy being in Milwaukee, that's for sure. You know, he wants to figure this thing out. And now, unfortunately, he's out with this Achilles injury. Giannis Antetokounmpo's out with the calf injury. Right now, I think their focus is, you know, trying to maximize this offseason, build some continuity together. Because remember that when that trade happened, you know, they didn't have a full training camp. They didn't have time to gel. So I think that's the focus right now. So it's a tough season, but not the way they wanted to start it off. But, you know, it is what it is at this point.
What can you tell me about his personality and the difficulties that he may have had creating the messy public conflict that he would have had to create in order to get to Miami the way that he wanted to?
Yeah. I actually thought he was going to end up here. You know, I actually thought at some point when all the dust settled, all the messiness got out the way, I thought he would get here. Didn't happen, obviously. But you know, I've talked to him about this. He wouldn't change anything. He doesn't feel the messiness came from his side.
You know? Well, no, it had to in order for it to happen the way that he wanted it to happen. It would have had to come from his side.
Well, you consider messiness.
Not from him directly.
Yeah, you're talking about the messiness, the public trade request.
I'm talking about in order to get what he actually wanted. He's the first superstar that this changed on, where you make this kind of noise and you don't get exactly what you want. And I thought it's because he needed to go messier with what his
I agree.
Do more damage to his reputation that he wanted to do.
I agree. He would have had to go on public. Yeah, I agree with you on that in that regard. Yeah, that's not in him. That's not in his DNA right there. Because he always, you know, he wanted to make things work in Portland. That was his first option. But they weren't putting the pieces around him to give him a legitimate shot to contend for a championship. So the trade request was made behind the scenes. Obviously, that gets out. But, yeah, he was not going to go public. Now, had things going on longer? Possibly. But it wasn't at the state where he felt prepared and ready to go public with that.
What can you tell me about the wedding?
The best wedding I've ever attended.
Really?
Best wedding I've ever attended. You had Johnny Gill was there.
Right.
Tevin Campbell's son, Common the rapper, was there. Snoop Dogg came. He rapped. I feel like I'm missing a few. But it was crazy.
That's a good wedding.
Yeah, Draymond Green came. Bradley Beal was there. All of his Portland Trailblazer teammates were there. You know, that was something. I've never experienced that.
I saw that he gave all of his Bucks teammates Tissot's because he's got a deal with them, and that struck me as something that was worth several hundreds of thousands of dollars that he didn't have to pay himself because he's able to just get all of his teammates in a photo with great watches.
Yeah, he got it like that. I mean, he's always been, you know, I think him, LeBron, there's some other guys, Steph, they're known for, like, You know, giving their teammates outlandish gifts. I wouldn't call that outlandish, but they're known for doing things like that behind the scenes to kind of try to build some team chemistry and build some closeness.
Chris, throughout your career, you've done an exceptional job covering LeBron James specifically. And over the weekend, I thought there was a fairly surprising result with them battling back into that series, especially when you consider how Game 2 went. What do you make of LeBron's career right now as it stands, because not really on a title threat yet again. It's been a weird, disjointed experience with the Los Angeles Lakers, and now you got AD calling out Darvin Ham publicly.
Ooh, okay. So I will say this about LeBron. When I took the job to cover LeBron, this was 2014, Cleveland playing deal. This is after we left Miami, went back to Cleveland. So that was my first, I wanted to become a national writer. And so I felt like covering a major beat, because I covered the Blazers before that, I feel like covering a major beat would be my next step to becoming a national writer. So when I took that Cleveland job, when LeBron came back, I took it with the expectation that I would be covering LeBron's downfall. I thought he was going downhill from there, you know. So I'm like, okay, this will be
welcome to my nightmare with Tom Brady saying he was in decline when he was 37.
Yeah. Like,
you thought LeBron
37.
You thought LeBron was done at 10 years earlier than he was done.
And his career's winding down.
That's crazy.
Is it? Are you sure?
That's crazy, because that first year covering 2014-15 season, he suffered an injury midway, and he missed like 15 or so games. And at that time, that was the most games he's ever missed in a season in his career. So I'm like, okay, well, this is something I can chronicle right here. You know, maybe I have a book and, you know.
The last days.
The last days of LeBron.
It would still be on
the
your
final
computer.
Days. Yeah, the
what a miscalculation by our basketball information insider, a real expert on the league. A totally reasonable thing to think that someone would just age like a human being ages.
Hey, that was my beat status at that point. You know, I didn't reach this level at there, but yeah, that was 10 years ago. He's since, you know, got a championship, you know, out of it, went to the Lakers out of it and got a championship with the Lakers, so two championships since then, you know. But it was a cool experience. One story I'll say about LeBron real quick. So I went in covering that team with the intentions of, like, okay, I'm going to try to be semi-hard. I'm going to try to be a semi-hard reporter. If I'm going to make my mark, I gotta take that angle. So it was the first year. Remember, you guys, Kevin,
like, ask tough questions.
Yeah,
you mean?
Ask tough questions and write tough, you know, tough articles. And he was being real tough on Kevin Love at that time. You know, it just wasn't fitting. Kevin Love was the third wheel, and it, you know, the Chris Bosh kind of role. And I remember Bron tweeted out something. I don't know if you guys remember. He was like, "Fit in or fit out." It was like a very cryptic tweet. And so everybody believed he's talking about Kevin Love. So then I went and wrote a story about, you know, how I feel like LeBron is not handling his leadership responsibilities the right way. You know, it did good numbers. It did good. Next day, locker room. LeBron finishes his media address. I'm waiting for him to say something to me. And we didn't have a relationship really back then. He didn't say anything to me. So the media gets excused out the locker room. Last minute, LeBron, come on. Chris, come here. I'm like, oh, shoot. All right. So I go over there, and he was like, listen, I don't have a problem with what you wrote. He said, if that's your assessment, if that's your analysis, fine. See, the only problem I had with you is that you didn't come to me and ask me, why am I handling this matter in that way? You know, and I can tell you why I'm doing it this way, because I see things that you don't see. I'm around these guys like you. So that's the only thing. And so from that point on, I was like, you know, you're right. From that point on, like, even when I'm breaking stories that may be deemed negative to the player, GM, coach, whatever, I will always call that player, coach, GM, whatever, give them a heads up. Let them know what's coming. And sometimes they may say, hey, it's not that way. Give me a different perspective. I may change course. Most times I don't. But at least they know. When it's coming from me, they're not going to find out on Twitter first.
You're one of the few reporters that has a good relationship with Kevin Durant. That franchise is bleeped on how it is that they're built over the next couple of years. And Booker was yelling at the T-Wolves bench, we play team ball, we share the ball. And then as soon as the Suns are eliminated, it's reported that Kevin Durant was unhappy with his role in that offense. What is true about Kevin Durant in Phoenix? What is not true about Kevin Durant in terms of public perception?
Well, I talked to him, the last time I talked to him, probably a month ago. And he told me how he's enjoying the process of trying to get acclimated to playing alongside Devin Booker and Bradley Beal. He enjoys it. One thing about KD, he likes new challenges, and he considers himself a basketball aficionado, and so with that, he embraces new paths. And this is no different. Like, this is something he wants to conquer. He wants to, you know, bring the Suns a championship and do it with those two guys. Now, with that being said, have there been times this season where he's been maybe a little unsettled in his role and how he's being used? Yes, because he's being used differently. His field goal attempts are down. He's still efficient, still one of the most efficient players we have in this league. So, yeah, there's been some frustration at times. But, you know, Bradley Beal shares the same frustration. You know, I know he had 9 points in the closeout game, the Timberwolves closeout game, shot badly. There's a clip of him as soon as he fouls out, Vogel extends his hand for a high five, and then Beal kind of like shoves his hand out the way. Not a good look. As far as Vogel, what I will say is this, is that I know Frank Vogel personally. I know he wanted a point guard on that roster. And the front office believed that bringing a point guard over would take the ball out of the hands of Bradley Beal, Devin Booker, and Kevin Durant. And so, you know, I think they didn't see eye to eye in
that. So
that's
the end
regard
of that front office. That owner's not going to sit around and tolerate very much.
I think something's going to happen. I don't know whether it's the front office or it's the coach. Something's going to happen.
But nothing can happen with the players. They're locked in.
Never. Right. Especially, you know, Bradley Beal still has that no trade clause. You know, they $50 million apiece for those three. Around there. So, nothing can happen to those guys. But they're a top-heavy team. So they have to find some balance going into next season if they want to be legit.
They're bleeped.
Yeah.
No draft picks.
No draft
picks. The rest
picks,
of the decade. Yeah. And Anthony Edwards is now in the division, and OKC is the youngest team in the league, and it's done. Like, they made all of those moves. They're not going to be able to fix that. The old people are out in the NBA. It's the young people's time.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, even with the Phoenix, you know, Lakers, they're going to have a similar – look like they may have a similar situation where they may be contemplating a change at the head coaching job. And look, whether it's valid or not, I don't know. But what I will say is, who else is out there? Who else is out there that's going to take on Phoenix, take them to the next level? Who's out there for
Belichick.
The Lakers?
Not a bad idea. Chris, last week, Dan was talking about a list that was sent to him. It's the top 13 centers in the NBA that are better than Van.
Thank you for being on with us.
Did you send the list?
Chris, we appreciate seeing you again.
It was Stan Van Gundy.
Thank you. It was not Stan Van Gundy. Thank you, Chris. Good seeing you.
Thanks for having me on.
Howdy, listeners. It's Mike, and you know, a lot has changed over the years. Just look at sports. There's instant replay, a three-point line, there were shifts and then not shifts. But one thing that hasn't changed over the course of all those things I just mentioned, the great taste of Miller Lite. That's right. It's so good. And it's also less filling. So what's the best thing about Miller Lite, the original light beer? Well, Miller Lite sparked this debate way back in 1975. We still haven't settled it. Be like me. I don't pick one. I like it because it's both. Miller Lite keeps it simple. Undebatable quality. Great taste. Only 96 calories. It's a beer that strips away everything that you don't need and holds on to what matters most. You don't have to choose what's best. Be like me. Say both. Miller Lite. Great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.